Good morning. The first reading is from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Chapter 1, the oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. Chapter 2. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord. Second reading is from Psalm 119, verses 137 to 144. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your teaching. You are righteous, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You commanded your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My indignation has consumed me because my enemies forget your words. Your word is very pure, and your servant loves it. I am small and of little account, yet I do not forget your commandments. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your teaching is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. The word of the Lord.
The gospel for this Sunday is from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw him began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Last Sunday, Pastor Julie spoke about justification, introduced that idea. Today is Reformation Sunday. That's why we've changed colors to red. It's a time in which we remember the work of the Holy Spirit that continues, not in, just in the past, but continues to transform and reform our lives still today. And so Reformation Sunday is an ideal time to talk about justification, because at the heart of the Reformation is that phrase, we are justified by faith. We are justified by faith. And I know that sounds sometimes like heady church language, you know, that whole justification of faith, you know, by faith. You know, what does all that mean? Well, we are made right. Somehow the relationship that was broken is now made right. We are made right with God. No longer does God see us we hear throughout Scripture as an enemy, but now as a friend, in fact, as an heir. So our relationship has been reclaimed. And I think we've all experienced that with relationships with people that have been on the edge, you know, it's distant, and somehow when it's been renewed, it's like a breath of fresh air. I remember growing up, my brother, he's 2 years younger than I, a lot smarter, a lot faster in his humor, and sometimes caustic. No, not sometimes. Every time, I found out later, every time I'd say one thing, he'd say the opposite, even when he agreed with me. Found out later, he says, I just like doing that, he says. I said, well, that's dumb. You know, it's not a good thing to do. And we were always at odds until something happened. And finally, he said, wow, I see a new light. And I tell you, instead of just being at a distance, it was a fun, a gratifying, a rich relationship. That's what it means to be made right with God. We are brought back into that, and we get to experience that closeness. Now, what does that all look like? And I think this story from Zacchaeus gives us a glimpse of what this looks like to be justified in the sight of God, to be made right with God. So let me take two pieces of it. I could rush to the end, and I know Tim Sanborn would love me to do this as the treasurer of our congregation. We just had a congregational meeting and talked about the proposed budget. At the end of the story, you know what Zacchaeus does, don't you? In this illuminated way of life, his relationship now with Jesus, he does what? He pledges something, right? He fills out a pledge card and he says, I'm going to give, right? I'm not only going to give it back if I've cheated somebody four times back, and I'm going to give you half my possessions. And I'm sure he fell back into what you and I fall back into. Well, I got to do something, right, Jesus, for you to continue to be in this good relationship with me. You're at my house, but if it's going to continue, I'm going to do something. I got to tell you this, we do not believe in a part-time Jesus. I want you to etch that phrase, I've used it for years, a part-time Jesus. And this is what happens, what the world does. The world slips in all this kind of stuff that says, Jesus does part of the work, I do the other part, and then we're okay. And that part-time Jesus is not what Paul understood when he writes to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. He said, no, none of us can get that halfway stuff done right. It is only through the full grace of Jesus that we are made right. And we need to understand that. And we need to hold on to that, because the rest of the world is tearing that part apart all over the place. That Jesus is this full, rich gift of God's mercy to us. So here's how the story of Zacchaeus. First of all, Jesus is coming into town. Now, this isn't just Jesus. This is the Jesus that the stories are all over the place, right? Now, tell me if this is true, Ava. Tell me if it's true. If you knew that somebody brought somebody back from the dead, wouldn't you like to see that guy? Yeah, I would too, okay? And if you, Norm, if you knew that somebody gave sight to some guy who was blind from birth, wouldn't you like to kind of get close to that guy? Huh? Yeah, I would too. Because what happens, that's what was going on. How many of you grew up in a small town? Okay? Oh, good, you did. In Iowa? Did you grow up in Iowa? Oh, okay, Illinois, okay. And when you grew up in a small town and somebody did something, who would know about it? Everybody, right. And that's what happens with Jesus. The word is getting out, and it goes from village to village. It goes from relative to relative, that somehow this Jesus is doing something that you gotta see. And Zacchaeus was no different than that, and so he wanted to see. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't just anybody. He was, according to what we know, a tax collector, right? But he was more than a tax collector. Does anybody remember what kind of tax collector he was? He was the chief. He was the boss of tax collectors. He had a bunch of tax collectors probably working for him. And how many of you, I know you, we talk about it, but you know, when we hear about taxes, right? Didn't you say death and taxes? Everybody doesn't want to talk about that. But what happens is that he was the chief tax collector, and tax collectors back then forced, no, they didn't force. They said, this is what you're going to pay the government. And then what they did is they added on their own salary. And if he had more muscle behind him, the salary got bigger, which meant the people had to pay more. They didn't like this. Sounds today, right? Okay, but what happened is that the Zacchaeus was hated for it. And he was the chief tax collector, so he had a lot of hate coming at him. Okay, and so he's coming there and he wants to see, he's heard about Jesus, but we find out something about him in the story that's interesting. He can't see. Now, I have a 6-year-old granddaughter. When we go to a parade and she wants to see, she either sits on your shoulders or she worms her way through the crowd. Remember doing that? Until you got to the front, and hopefully somebody will let you in, and she gets to be right in the front, because otherwise everything, you're on your toes and you're trying to see. And Zacchaeus could not see, so he does what he does. He climbs a tree. And what we're not told in the story is how Jesus got to know the guy's name. Did he say, well, who's that guy up in the tree? And someone said, that's Zacchaeus, he's a chief tax collector. Or did he know this, you know, kind of like a mind reader type of thing? But whatever we don't know, this is what we do know. He looks up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus. He calls the guy by name, and that's no small matter in this story. Because throughout biblical life and the Hebrew life back then, that culture back then, to know someone's name meant that you knew everything about them. Not just the surface stuff that most of us carry out there, right? How are you? Fine. I'm hurting inside, but I'm fine, you know? That, all that surface stuff, but he knew everything about him. When you know the name, when Adam was created and all the animals created, guess who named the animals? Adam. And by doing that, he was responsible for those animals. He was to care for them, to know what their needs and to meet those needs. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. He begins to come close to this man on the tree by knowing who he is, his secrets. Those things that we keep from God, we keep from each other, and we sometimes keep from ourselves. The ones we bury deep inside of us. How would you like to have everyone know who you are? And everything that you think, and everything you've done? Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. He enters into a relationship knowing who this guy is by naming him in the story. That's the first part of what it means to be justified by God. God knows us. Come on, we said that in the confession. If we deny our sins, we deceive ourselves. And guess what? God knows all the secrets, we say. This is a God whom we believe in, who knows us and still calls us by name. And still says, Holly, okay? And still says, Bonnie, you know, and Art. I know who you are. I know what you're thinking. I know what you've done. But I still call you by your name. You are mine. Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. And then Jesus says that second part that really fills it out. I'm coming to your house. Now, I don't know if Zacchaeus had this intention. You know, we always think about this too late. Oh, I wish I would have invited them to dinner or whatever. But Jesus doesn't even wait for an invitation. He says, I'm coming to your house. This is the God who John tells us, says in Jesus, I've chosen you. You didn't choose me. This is the God that Martin Luther, oh, I got Reformation in there, right? Okay, that Martin Luther said was, and this is what why Christmas for Martin Luther was better than Easter. This is where God chooses to come down to where I am and does not wait for me to get up to God. This is the one who says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Jesus says, I choose to come to you where you're at. Not when you get your act together, not when you somehow behave your best or get on your Sundays best, not when somehow you've said the same thing or gotten all the knowledge and read all the Bible books and stuff like that and memorized all that. I've come to you now where you are at, and I'm coming to your house. And like the name, this is no small matter, because to eat with someone back in that culture meant that you were like them. And the one thing every parent fears when their children are growing up is who their kids hang out with. Because of why? The reputation, right? If you hang out with those people and they're like that, everyone's going to think that what? You're the same way. That's exactly what was happening with Jesus, and those people grumbled, he eats with sinners. We are going to celebrate a meal in which Jesus comes to us again in bread and wine and body and blood. And guess what? We come as sinners. And Jesus doesn't run away, but chooses to come to us and says, I'm coming to your house today, Alice and Carol and Peter. I choose to come to you. That's justification, that we are made right with God, not because we have done anything special, but because God in Jesus Christ has chosen to come to us where we are, where we're standing at any given moment. At the end of the story that Zacchaeus then, you know, gives all his wealth away, I think speaks this. That kind of embracing God's grace changes one's life. How we think, how we speak, and how we act. There's one thing I didn't tell you, and I'm not even sure if Zacchaeus knew it. But the name Zacchaeus, and I think Jesus knew the name. Remember I said he knew everything about him? It means pure. I'm not quite sure if Zacchaeus was told that by his parents. I'm not sure if he embraced it himself as he was attacked by all the people in the village all the time, probably spitting in his face, grumbling. But Jesus saw something in Zacchaeus beyond that and said, I'm coming to your house. And he says, here is where salvation lives. And it's in that relationship that our lives are transformed from sinner to saint. Oh, another Reformation thing. Good. From sinner to saint. And God claims us again and says, you are mine. You are mine. Come and eat and drink my blood and my body, my gift to you. That's why Martin Luther, when he wrote this song that we're going to sing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, what always stands out for this is as it goes through the whole verse of what we've lost, somehow is not, there is not an emptiness there, because what remains is this Jesus who says, in the midst of your suffering, I remain with you. And that's our final word of triumph, that God's kingdom remains forever. Amen.